All right, tonight in the evening service, we're going to be talking about how we need the Holy Spirit to help us in prophecy, to understand prophecy, and to help us know that we live in prophetic times. And if you all are not aware of the prophetic times, you need to. I remember whenever I was just coming back from the Navy in 1973, I tell you what, that was an amazing year for me, because I had determined I was never going to go back to church again. God's God. You can fight Him all you want to, but He's just going to love you to death. So you want to you want to be aware of that. But anyway, He loved me too much, and I came back here. And there was somebody that put out in those first few years after I came back here a little booklet called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Must Come Back by 1988. Well, I wanted Him to come, but He didn't come in 1988. But I want you to know that if you're willing to study the Scriptures and look at all the prophecy pointers, there's so many that are in place. Jesus is coming back. Amen. And so you need to be aware of that. Be here this evening at 6:30. All right, today's message could be entitled Strange and Wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. This morning we're going to start off in the 20th chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start with the first verse that we come in here. So, and we're going to be looking at the first resurrection, the second resurrection. We're going to be thinking about the implied first death. My mom and dad have both died the first death. Our previous pastor has died the first death. Every one of us, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not going to go running at it. But I'm not afraid of it, because I know I'm going to live again. And this scripture that we're going to be looking at talks about the first resurrection, the second resurrection, and the second death. And we want to be aware of those things. And then we're going to be going. So if I have an opportunity to be in the first resurrection, do I want to, or do I want to be in the second? And if I don't have to face the second death, what do I do to keep from facing the second death, since it is appointed unto man once to die? So we want to think about those as we're looking in this scripture. So we're going to start with Revelation chapter 20, looking at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key. You realize that Jesus holds the keys to everything that you need? This key is different from all of those keys. Jesus alone holds the keys to everything you need. And He's willing to use them today on your behalf. Somehow, this message that I brought at the 8 o'clock service, I'm not much of a preacher. I remember how that Brother Matthews used to talk about preacherettes preaching to Christianettes. And whenever I started doing preaching, I realized, oh man, I don't know if any of the people I'm preaching to are Christianettes, but I sure am a preacherette. And yet God has done something in the midst of all of that. And I'm telling you, if God can use a man like me, then He's got keys. Jesus has keys that He's wanting you to know He wants to use for you today. So anyway, this angel has a different key, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, and somebody ought to say, thank God. And that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years, and everybody got to go, hallelujah. And they cast him, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal upon him. Why is this important? Well, if we were to look at Revelation chapter 12, which we are not, but I'm going to tell you a little bit, the Bible tells us that the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan does one thing day and night before the throne of God, and it involves you and me. He accuses us day and night. And you know what he does? He tells the truth. That's what crushes me the most. He just goes to the throne of God and he tells the truth about me. I'm telling you, you better be careful whenever when you're saying, well, it's the truth. Because there are some things you should never say. Because when you say them, you have become like him. There are some things about you that Jesus will never say. He'll say, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. I want to give you eternal life. And so, but this one does not want us to have eternal life. And he's going to be shut up for 1,000 years. Now then, during that 1,000 years, we're going to find out about what we're doing in the next few verses. Because that's whenever, even if we have died and gone into heaven, we're going to be living again for 1,000 years here upon the face of this earth. And it's going to be great. What has to be by faith today. Because I want y'all to know I'm living an amazing life by faith. And it's going to be great then, because it won't be by faith. It'll be Jesus, the one who lived in me all of the years while I was here, now living in me to totally change the world. Well, let's go ahead and look at these scriptures so I can get finished with this message today. And it says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Well, you can say, well, every nation except America is deceived because America is a Christian nation. Well, that was part of the deception. When the church is alive, then America has great hope and possibilities. And we need to be in a church that's alive so that America can have hope and possibilities. But as far as being a Christian nation, look around. Do you think America's a Christian nation? I'll take you so many places as you want to go today, and I'm not going to take you there. But it's not because America's a Christian nation. It's because God's a good God, but we're a deceived nation. We think that certain things are okay. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, I'm doing it. It doesn't hurt anybody else. Really? You think it's not going to hurt somebody else? It will eventually hurt everybody. Let's don't think about that too very much today until we get to the very end. And so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And you say, why would God loose anybody like that? Because God's plans must be fulfilled. I don't understand why all the things happen in my life. I'll give you two examples. Did Esther understand why her people were going to be destroyed unless she risked her life? You haven't read Esther, you don't know what an amazing story it is. Because she knew that she should not go see her husband, the king, unless he invited her to come. She even told people, they said, you've got to go tell him that the Jews are going to be destroyed. You've got to go tell him. And she said, I have not been invited. If I go uninvited, there's one thing. If he's in a bad mood, it's off with my head. What about Joseph? Joseph was a man. His big problem was that he told the truth about everybody, a truth that shouldn't be told. He told all the evil things that his brothers did. But whenever they sold him into slavery, what did he decide to do? Well, I'm going to curse God and die. No, he knew who God was. And although he was a slave, he said, all right, if God has me here, because that's the only reason I could be here, I'm going to be the best slave ever. And then he went into prison. You say, well, he gave up on God then, didn't he? No, he didn't give up on God then. He said, okay, I'm in prison. What am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to be the best prisoner ever. I'm going to tell you, that takes a unique spirit. Guess what we all have in us if we've been born again? We have that unique spirit. So there are things that we must go through, and after that 1,000 years, this world must go through a little season. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Thrones, people that are going to make things right for 1,000 years. Guess what we're going to do for 1,000 years? Finally, we're not going to have to elect officials and say, finally, they're going to make things right. We won't ever be disappointed with them again. I voted for a Democrat, and I'm so disappointed. I voted for a Republican, and I'm more disappointed. That's why when we go to vote, and we will go to vote, I'm going to hammer the living daylights out of y'all until the November election comes. When we go to vote, we don't go to vote for an elephant or a donkey. We go to vote for the Lamb, because it's the Lamb who will make the difference. Jesus is the Lamb of God, in case you don't know that. And I saw thrones and them that sat upon them, and judge was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. These people that are on these thrones were willing to give their lives away to God. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness, for the martyrdom, for trusting in Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. This is during the 7 years that they're worshipping the beast and his image. Neither had they received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and they reigned with Christ for a thousand years. I don't know if I'm going to lose my head, but I'm planning on living and reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years. Any of y'all here planning on that? Then y'all are ready to be able to come back after the first death. Okay, and the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. So we know that this is talking about, this is the first resurrection. It tells us here that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years. So are you planning on living and reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years? Yes. That's a good thing that you are. And this is the first resurrection. There's a difference between the two resurrections now. And it says, blessed is he, and blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Well, what did these that managed to get to the first resurrection? Were they the ones that cleaned up themselves and they kept going back to God and saying, I got some dirt behind this here, well, I'll scrub it till it's raw. They couldn't clean themselves up, but they presented themselves to Jesus for him to cleanse them from their sins. You got a sin problem today? You want me to tell you somebody that does? I do. Everybody here's got a sin problem. Some of us just don't know it, or we won't tell anybody. We don't need to tell anybody, but we need to admit it. I've got a sin problem. And so it says here that the blessed and holy, and the person has a part in the first resurrection. Well, the first resurrection is going to be everybody that has trusted in Jesus is going to be called to the Bema Seat of Christ. They're all going to come to the Bema Seat of Christ, and at the Bema Seat of Christ, they're going to be given rewards. Any of y'all interested in rewards? Come on, I know you are, because I'll bet a bunch of y'all are involved in Publishers Clearinghouse. I don't have any problem with that. It's like playing the lottery. I don't have a problem with that, but I know that y'all, because y'all are thinking $5,000 a month for the rest of my life. You better trust God. So anyway, we have here that blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. So they are called to the Bema Seat of Christ for rewards. What kind of rewards are they given there? They're given rewards for what they allowed God to do in their broken, twisted lives. They believe that God could take their broken... You know, if I had... From about the age of about 19 till about the age of 25, if I had understood that God could take a broken, twisted individual and do such works in them. But I didn't know that. And I was mad at God. So mad at God. And then I heard about Jesus. I started coming here. And I heard about a Jesus who loves sinners and wanted to transform their lives. And it says here that they shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So they go to the Bema Seat of Christ. They receive rewards. Let me tell you something. We have reward ceremonies here at Liberty Academy. A lot of y'all don't know about that. I wish that we could get those things in the bulletin in advance so that you could be aware of them, so you could come and see these little kids, because kids get rewards. And the thing that's kind of sad is the way that we react to rewards here. Even if you get a reward and you only got one and somebody else got seven, you're looking at your one, and you're looking at the seven, and you're kind of embarrassed. Of course, there's a whole bunch of kids that are sitting out here that didn't get any rewards at all. But if you're down here in front, you know, in heaven, you know what? If I only get one reward, and all of y'all get 1,000, I'm going to be so thankful to God. There was one time that he was able to do something amazing in my life. Because the reward's going to be all about what God did in my life. Isn't it marvelous to know that I'm going to get a reward based upon what he was able to do when I let him? To me, that's a marvelous thought. And so then it talks about, and they shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations. All the nations of the world, America, all the nations of the world, even Israel to a certain extent, is all the nations of the world are deceived by the evil one. And the world is filled up with deception everywhere that you look. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed about the camp of the saints round about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire will come down from God out of heaven and devour them. And the devil which deceived them will be cast into the lake of fire of brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are. And if you don't know who the beast and the false prophet are, you need to come on Sunday night so that we can talk about those things. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Guess what? I may be tormented by my sins. I may be tormented by other people's sins. I may be tormented by the fact that I know that the evil one is accusing me day and night. But I'm not going to be tormented forever and ever. And I'm only tormented here because I allow them to do that to me. Because if I trust Jesus, I won't even be tormented about the fact that I'm a twisted, broken person, because I'll know that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. I don't have to complete it. I just have to trust him. So anyway, we find that here, that they're going to be tormented day and night. And I saw a great white throne. This is the second resurrection. So we've seen the first resurrection. We've talked about the second death a little bit or back up early. We're going to get to that in a few seconds. And I saw a great white throne. This is the second resurrection. And there is this, Jesus will be at this one. He will be at the Bema seat. He will be there giving rewards for the things that people allowed him to do in their lives. Christ in us, Jesus in me, allowing him to be king in me. And then the second resurrection, the great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for anyone. It was either Jesus or it was nothing. And I saw the dead, small and great. These are the ones who had died the first death, but who were not resurrected in the first resurrection. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So all of these people have been like the rich man and Lazarus. Do you all remember the story of rich man and Lazarus? Because if you don't, you're not going to really understand what I'm going to be talking to you about here in a few seconds. The rich man and Lazarus, they both died. Lazarus, the one who was the servant, the one who had sores, the one who had so much things in this life that were so, it was so wrong, but he trusted in God. Whenever he lifted up his eyes, he was in the comforts of the place called paradise. Paradise is not there anymore, but this was before Jesus died. He was in the place called paradise. The rich man lifted up his eyes in torments. He said, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham heard him. He said, Abraham, send Lazarus over here. Let him dip his finger in some of that beautiful living water I see over there. Let him come over to this side and let him bring a drop of water over here for me. Now, I don't know if Lazarus would have tried to do that or not. But Abraham said, no, there's no way for him to get from where you are. There's a great chasm between the two of us. This is the place of comfort. That's the place of torment. So you need to see, there he was in a flame of torment on the other side. And everybody who has gone away from God when they died. Because you make the choice. You make the choice. Nobody else makes that choice. God's not looking down and saying, there's a sinner I don't like. Bring me the fire and brimstone. Bam, bam, bam. God's not like that. God's not willing that any should perish, the scriptures say, but that all should come to life. And there's only life through Jesus. And so we see here that these people that have been in torments now hear the voice of God calling, come to me. And as they're coming, they can't come in their nastiness. They suddenly get clothed on with all that they could have had. Oh, the resurrection power of God is coming upon them. Oh, my heart's beating again. I'm filled with the possibility of joy. The closer I get to God, the more joy I'm feeling. Oh, this is marvelous. Finally, I'm leaving my place of torment and I'm coming to the throne of God. Oh, here I am. Trouble of it is that Jesus said, In that day there will be many that said unto me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things? And I'm going to say unto them, I don't know who you are. So you need to have a personal relationship with Almighty God. And so here they come, and the books were opened, and they were the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things. That means they were rewarded. So there's rewards for what Jesus does in our lives, and then there are rewards for what we do. Here's the thing. Some of us are going to get, and I'm not going to be one of them because I'm going to be in the first resurrection, but some people that are there are going to have so many rewards that they're not going to be able to carry all of them. I mean, they're going to have rewards for the things that they did, but they don't know Jesus. And so it says here that the dead were judged out of those things, and that the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and rewarded and rewarded and rewarded. And they said, finally, somebody in heaven realizes what I've done. And that's when Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye who worked iniquity. And they will begin to fall back into the decay and into the nastiness, into the hopelessness that they had. Now then, that's the second resurrection. Those that will go back to their place. Rewarded, yes. God's a good God. He rewards those who do good things. But that doesn't mean He has to give them everlasting life. Unless they trust in Jesus, you won't get that. And so we see that this is what happens there. We're rewarded according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now then, it's only been made, God's made it to where nobody has to have the second death. If they're willing to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. And if they're not willing to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, then once this life is over, then they go until they wait until they have the reward for the things that they did, and then forever after that, they're totally cut off from one another, from anybody else. All they will ever know is the corruption that they had chose for their lives. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's not something I want to have happen to me. Now then, I want us to look to finish out the message today, and I have plenty of time to do that. We're going to finish out the message today. We want to talk about the purpose of our lives, because we need to know that if there are rewards to be had, the purpose that God has for our lives is what we're going to allow Jesus to do in us. And when we're thinking about that, we want to see if there's any of these that I want to use. Nah, I don't want to use any of those until the very end. And so we want to look at what is said in 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting with verse 9. Verse 9. I don't know. Jacob typed up some things and put it up there, put up a thing that starts with, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I don't know if you'll be able to find that whenever you're looking through all of that stuff this morning. I don't know if he labeled it a particular thing and it was used. There you go. 2 Peter 2:9. Wow. Thank you, Cynthia. That's very good. So I know that some of you all know this particular scripture, and I want you to think about it, because I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to bless you with singing this scripture over you and saying, I believe that this is what God has planned for you. So it says here, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. You've been called. You've been chosen. You're a chosen generation. That means you're elect. God, foreknowledge was for you to be born again. And His foreknowledge was for you to have the wonderful works of Almighty God worked in your brokenness and in your twistedness. Because this young man that some of y'all got to see at 9:30 who was baptized up here, he's not become totally, he came today saying, there's so much that's wrong in my life. I don't know what to do. I know that I believe Jesus can handle it. Well, once he came up out of that water, that all wasn't taken care of yet. But he believes Jesus can handle it. And so it says here, you are a chosen generation. Did you know that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world? Thing of it is, are you willing to be chosen? Are you willing for God to begin to do His wonderful works in you? And so, did you know that you're part of a priesthood that's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years? That you're a holy nation that's going to change the whole world? I wish that America was a holy nation and it would all be changed whenever the history of America is written. I don't know how much longer America has. I hope it has a long time. But there's so much things that we've done wrong that unless the church becomes vibrant and alive in America, then America will very soon be judged and found wanting. And great judgments will come upon us. I don't know how many things that you've done wrong that you've not allowed God to take care of. And I don't know how long God will hold back the judgment that will have to handle those things if you're not willing for Him to transform who you are. That you should show forth the praises of Him. How do I show forth the praises? Well, Brother Phil, first of all, I'll learn how to sing like you can because you're loud. No, that's not how you show forth the praises of Him. You show forth the praises of Him by believing that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask, and that He can transform sinners like me. And it talks about being called out of darkness. There are some people who don't want to be called out of darkness. They don't care. Well, guess where they're going to end up for eternity? Darkness. Into His marvelous light. There's a Hebrew blessing. It's found in Deuteronomy, I believe. And it talks about the Aaronic priesthood gives that Hebrew, the priesthood of Aaron gives that blessing, and it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you grace. Wow. Do you know that God wants to bless you today? Do you know that the Lord wants to put a hedge around you and protect you and keep you whenever evil comes? I think I smell Phil Thompson out about again. I'm wondering what he's going to taste like today. I think I want to gnaw on him a little bit. And God says, no. I want to keep him. I want to bless him. You know that God wants to give you grace. Grace is all the good things that you don't deserve that God wants to give you anyway. Do you know that the Scriptures now go on to say after he blesses, He keeps you, and He gives you grace, it goes on to say, and He wants to cause His face to shine on your face. You understand what America needs today? It needs believers that are willing for God to shine His face on their brokenness, willing for God to shine His face upon their unfaithfulness, to shine His face on them so that people around can say, why is God being good to that person? Y'all see that? God's good to that person. I don't understand why God's good to that person, because God's a good God, and every sinner who's willing, He will be better than good to that sinner. Because Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save sinners that which is lost. So anyway, let's look at this song again. Have you been called into His marvelous light? Have you responded to be called into His marvelous light, where He causes His face to shine on your face? And if you ask Him today, say, Lord, cause Your face to shine on my face. I've got people who are living in darkness that I want to claim. Lord, cause Your face to shine upon my face there are people in Shawnee that You need to claim. Lord, cause Your face to shine upon my face. I'm just a little man here in Shawnee, America, but I'm wanting You to shine on my face so that America might have a chance for You to do marvelous things in America today. You understand, it's all about us trusting God. It's not about the president trusting God. It's not about judges trusting God. It's not about representatives or senators. It's not about all those big people in charge of those big corporations that have gazillions of dollars and they don't know what to do with it, all them trusting God. It's about whoever is here that God is saying, I want to cause my face to shine upon your face, and I have to take care of your sins to do that. Now you notice I haven't been talking about any particular sins, because there's no need to talk about particular sins. There's the need to call out the fact that there's a God who can take care of it and then begin to work a marvelous work in my life and in your life. So let's look back at this, because those of you that sing it all the way back to the very beginning, I want you to sing it with me, and then we're going to bring down to the very ending of the sermon today. As you think about this, am I chosen? Am I really chosen by God? Before the foundation of the world, You were chosen. You could choose not to allow that to have any effect. But if you do, you're going to go into darkness. You'll see His glory one more time when you're called to the great white throne. And then that will all begin to pass away from you as you claw and you scream and you say, oh no, don't send me away. And then to say yes, yes, today. Those of you that know this song, sing with me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. So come and sing hallelujah. Give praise to the Lord. Come on and sing hallelujah and show forth the praises of Him who has called you into freedom, into freedom. Aren't you tired of being a slave? I'm telling you, there's addictions everywhere. Some of us just pet our addictions and say, it's mine. I love my addiction. No, God wants to call us into freedom, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. One last story. That's what it is right there. I'll try to make it short. Then we're going to give an invitation. This church is not like a lot of churches. We want Jesus to be active in us. Not just Jesus to say, well, I'm okay with that place. We want Him to be coming into this place and saying, are you ready? And for some part of us to be saying back to Him, are you talking to me, Lord? And for us to be able to say, yes, I'm ready. You've probably heard this before. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection from Picasso to Raphael. They would sit together and commune with one another over the great works that God had allowed them to have. When the latest war that America was required to suffer through broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous, but he died in battle while rescuing many other soldiers. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. After some time, the father died. But before he did, a young soldier knocked at his door one day with a large package under his arm. He said, sir, I knew your son. I am the soldier. The last soldier that your son saved. There were many that day. We often talked about your love for art. He knew I could paint. He knew that I couldn't do much, but he encouraged me. He believed in what could be done with the gift that was in me. With that, he pulled the paper off of the large package, and he showed the father a portrait of his son. The father was taken aback. He looked at it. It was crude. It was unfinished in a lot of ways. But the father was drawn to the eyes of his son. And his own eyes welled up with tears. And he thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. And he said, oh no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift. The father hung the portrait over his mantle. And every time wealthy visitors would come to visit, he always took them first to the portrait of his son before he showed them anything else. God kind of does that about us. The angels are watching today. They're looking, first of all, they're saying, wow, we know God's loving that person. Wonder how they're going to respond to that. Because they'll be able to see by what happens with your heart. Angels look at the heart just like God does. We look at the outside. Then the father died after some short time. There was a great auction of his huge collection. Many influential people gathered excited over being able to spend some of their wealth on his paintings and to have an opportunity to purchase one for themselves. On the platform sat the painting of the son. The auctioneer pounded his gavel and he said, we'll start the bidding. Very first is the picture of the son. Who will bid for this picture? What will you bid today? Will you give anything for the picture of the son? Who will bid first? There was silence. Then there was murmuring, angry murmuring. Some people in the audience were saying, what are we doing here looking at that? Yeah, the eyes are interesting, but that's not worth anything. They begin to say, skip this one. We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the others, the Van Goghs, the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids. And still the auctioneer continued, the sun. That's first, the sun. Who will make a bid for the sun? From the back of the room came a voice that says, I'll offer $10. There was cold silence. They said, finally, we can get on with the bidding for the others. And he said, who is that back there? A hand was held up. People turned and they said, ah, that was the butler for the man. He's not worth very much. Let's get him out of the way. $10, will anybody offer anything else? They said, we want the paintings. Get over this. And he said, going once, going twice, sold to that man for $10. Others in the room said, a sigh of relief went up, and they said, now get on with the collection. The auctioneer put his gavel down, and he said, the auction is over. There was a stipulation I could not tell you until the painting of the sun had been sold. The stipulation is that whoever gets the sun gets everything else. You know, I don't think it's a bad deal. I know that there's a lot of things about life that twist us and make us unhappy. I also know that God has a plan. Whoever gets the sun gets everything else. You need to make a decision today? You need to deal with your attitude? You need to get on with life and say, you know, I believe God does have a plan for my life. Because I'm telling you, if God had a plan for this man's life, God's got a plan for every man's life. And if you're twisted up and you're following after Jesus and you said, well, I just about come to the end of my being able to follow him anymore. Really? Do you think he's finished? Do you think he's given you everything yet? It'd be a good day to trust him even more than you ever have before. Let's all stand. We'll sing a verse and then we'll be dismissed.